If you've ever found yourself spiraling down a late night rabbit hole of what am I meant to do and why haven't I found it yet? And let's be honest, who hasn't? Then you're in the right place. I'm Teresa White, career clarity expert and 5-time certified career coach, and I'm here to help you navigate the question of how to find a career that truly lights you up. On Career Clarity Unlocked, we're all about those light bulb moments. I'm talking to people who are still trying to figure out what they're meant to do, coaching them live to reach that magical, yes, this is it moment. And we'll also hear from those who've already found their dream careers and figure out exactly how they did it. Whether you're looking for inspiration or actionable advice on finding a career you love, I've got you covered. Time to unlock some career clarity. Let's dive in. Welcome back to Career Clarity Unlocked. Have you ever felt like your non-traditional career path is holding you back, or wondered how to turn your very unique experience into a powerful asset in the job market? Today, we're going to be diving into an incredible conversation with Erica Rivera. She's a career reinvention coach, passionate about helping non-traditional job seekers, especially those who have been historically underrepresented, navigate career changes. She's had the privilege of working with individuals from 60 different countries across 45 different role profiles. Her journey spans from teen mom to hospitality, tech, and now CEO. She brings experience from her time as a recruiter at Indeed and Google, focusing on empowering high-achieving professionals to leverage their unique strengths and achieve success. Let's get started. Welcome, Erica.
Hi, Teresa. Thank you for having me. I am very excited to be here.
So excited to have you here and talk with you today.
Yes, I'm like, I love what you do. So when I had the opportunity to raise my hand and join you, I was like, yes, let's have a conversation.
And I love what you do. So this is amazing.
Thank you.
I absolutely love having you here today.
Thank you.
So there's going to be so much incredible knowledge that I can't wait to dive in with you. I generally start the podcast episode and the live based on the Sparkotype assessment. It is something I use a lot in my work. So I'm going to start by giving listeners somewhat of a background about what the Sparkotype is and what your unique profile is. Then we can talk about how it shows up in your life and then talk about the work that you do.
Absolutely. I love it.
So the Sparkotypes originated from the decades-long experience of award-winning author, teacher, founder, and business advisor Jonathan Fields. And he describes the Sparkotype as the unique imprint for work that makes us come alive. And we can think of that as a kind of source code or DNA level impulse that exists across all facets of our lives. And then that inspires us to work, often hard, for no other reason than the feeling it gives us. That is our Sparkotype. And the more a person's work aligns with their Sparkotype, the more likely they are to feel energized and excited and have a sense that what they do matters, experience flow, and be fully themselves and able to perform at their full potential at work and in life. And you can take the Sparkotype assessment for free on sparkotype.com. And Erica, I can't wait to talk about your profile. So your profile, the primary is the nurturer, the shadow advisor, and the anti, the performer. So to give the audience a little bit of a background on what that means is our primary Sparkotype is the strongest impulse for work that makes you feel excited, inspired, and on purpose. And the nurturer in your case is about giving care and supporting others. So as a nurturer, you tend to give care, take care, offer support, see, hear, and hold others. And I wonder if that resonates with you.
Oh, yes. I read that and I was like, oh my goodness, it was spot on. That is true to my core.
Wow. And the shadow Sparkotype is often the work that we do in order to be able to do the work of our primary at an even higher level. And in your case, it's the advisors, and advisors are all about guiding to grow. And it's the work of coaching, mentoring, and advising that fills you up. And the satisfaction you feel that comes from walking beside others and being with and guiding them along the way as they move toward their desired outcomes. Did that resonate with you as well?
You know, how could you guess? I'm a career coach, so, you know, not at all.
You know, I'm a coach too, and I'm on the total opposite of the spectrum. So, but no, I love to hear that this is resonating with you. And I would love if you can tell us about an experience when the nurturer and the advisor showed up in your work and how you experienced that and how it makes you feel to do the work of your Sparka type.
Yeah, this is a really good one. I actually have a pretty recent example of that. So I had somebody that had reached out to me for guidance. So somebody had recently graduated from college and just was really like, I have no idea. What is life? What am I doing? Was looking, you know, just to have some mentorship. And so in that moment, you know, as soon as I was hearing this person share their story, immediately it was like for me a no-brainer where I was like, I want to be that person to help mentor them and to really just guide them, give them advice. And so that right there for me, I think is kind of a prime example of just showing up, you know, how I am, because by nature I see people in need and it's like, I'm the one, I want to be the caregiver. I want to jump in and help. And I'm the first one to raise my hand. So that example just is because it's so recent is top of mind.
Thanks for sharing that. And it seems to be just so you, who you are at your core, that it's something you cannot not do.
Yes, exactly.
And it's so amazing that you are now in a role where you get to do that the majority of your time. Has this always been the case in your career that you were really able to lean into the desire to nurture and to advise and mentor and coach, or has it been different? Has it been different for you in the past?
That's a good question. So reflecting back, because after I did take the assessment, I was like, this is very interesting. And so I decided to do some self-reflection. And even from a young age, so childhood and even rings true right now, I can remember times in my life just throughout my journey where I very much have any time there's an opportunity to help somebody, to raise my hand, to be the one that's like, hey, let's figure out what needs to be done in order to get to where we're trying to go. I remember being like 8 years old and, you know, I would rollerblade with a group of kids and we would go through the neighborhood and go to the park. And so I would be the one to rally everybody and I would be the one to like, okay, now I'm going to lead us there and all of making sure everybody's okay. I want to make sure nobody gets left behind. So just things, you know, like that came up for me that I remembered. And even at work, when I wasn't necessarily in like, say, a leadership role, but I've always been the one that says, hey, I'm happy to train this person or happy to jump in and support them. So yeah, very much rings true. And I've seen that be a consistent theme throughout my life.
That is so such a great insight to share. And it's a lot of times it is when we discover our Sparka type, it's so us that we, not everyone has actually found the language to express it. And a lot of times you think like, oh, isn't everyone like that? But to realize like, no, this is really special about you. And I can only imagine the impact you've made on so many people's lives by really tapping into that, taking care of others and coaching and mentoring them.
Yeah. Yeah. It truly is. It does, to your point earlier, you said fills your cup. It fills my cup.
Yeah. And then on the opposite spectrum on the Sparka type profile is the anti-Sparka type. And the interesting thing with the anti-Sparka type, it's not something we're bad at. It is that heavier lift for us. So I'll give you my example. My anti is the advocate, which is championing others. And it doesn't mean I don't care. And it certainly doesn't mean I can't do it or that I'm bad at it. I deeply, deeply care. But if I had to do that all day, every day, the act of giving voice, it would be a heavy lift and would drain me. And in your case, the anti is the performer. So the performer are those moments where we animate, energize, enliven, entertain, and we're in the spotlight. And It's that feeling of all eyes are on us and we're in the spotlight. And there's public speakers who have that as an anti and they're brilliant at what they do, but it is a heavier lift and it takes more time to fill the battery after. I wonder if that is something that resonates with you.
Yeah, very, very much so. And it's interesting because I have been in a lot of settings where I've had to facilitate and maybe do a workshop or even I think about social media. I do a lot of content and creating videos and I do lives and things of that nature. But I do find that after those instances, it does take time for me to just re-energize. And so I do have to like take a moment and just kind of put everything away. And I need that like me time, because it, I feel like it, I don't want to say it takes the life out of me, but it very much, I can definitely feel the impact in, and the weight is heavier. So the energy that I need to really kind of like put out is a lot more than, you know, other areas of life. So.
And that makes total sense. And the thing is, we all have things that energize us and that drain us. And that just makes us human. That's who we are. And there's nothing wrong with it. There's things that are very draining for me. And I know I can only do them for a certain amount of time in my day or in the week. Otherwise, my battery would be too empty, even though I might enjoy them. So for example, actually nurturing is something that is a heavier lift for me. I'm very on the opposite spectrum, but I have two kids. I love them. I love spending time with them. And I think people would describe me as nurturing. But if that would be my job to do all day, every day, my battery would be very depleted.
Yeah. It's so fascinating. And it's so interesting how accurate this is. And I was really in awe when I took it. And I just want to say thank you for providing it to me to take, because I was like, oh, this is an awareness I didn't have before.
You're so welcome. And I'm so glad it resonated with you. And I'm so passionate about the Sparkotype because it literally changed my life. The moment I took it, suddenly my whole life made sense. My primary is a scientist. So I love figuring things out. I love solving problems. And my shadow is the essentialist. I create order out of chaos. So I do that. I take all this information, all the data, everything I find, create systems, order processes, and that helps me really figure out problems and solve questions. And that's what makes me come alive. In the moment I took the Sparkotype and realized that, I was like, oh my God, this makes sense why I was so unhappy in these roles and why there was always something missing for me. And it was such a huge aha moment for me. And then that's why I can't stop learning more about the Sparkotype assessment and became a certified Sparkotype advisor. And I'm, as you hear, very passionate about it, because I see that in so many people when they take the assessment, they're like, wow, this is different than any other assessment I've ever taken. And it helps really get me at a deeper level.
That's so awesome. I'm like, I'm so glad that you're doing what you're doing, because I know it's transforming lives. Like, honestly, a lot of questions I hear from people is, you know, they're in this crossroads of like, you know, I feel unfulfilled. I don't know what's missing. And so I'm like, here, you know, I'm going to definitely be directing people to you, to be honest, so to help them gain some clarity.
That's what we're here for. Yeah. And looking at what makes you come alive, that really taking care of others and coaching and guiding others, it's no wonder that you became a coach. But I wonder what inspired you to specifically become a career reinvention coach for non-traditional job seekers?
Yeah, great question. So for me, it stemmed from personal experience and the non-traditional background, just because my background is very non-traditional in the way that I navigated my career. And for me, I had to reinvent myself in order to kind of embody this new version of me to take my career in the direction, you know, that I wanted to go. So given my journey, what I then wanted to do is like, I want to reach back and I want to be able to help those, because there are a lot of people that, you know, feel boxed in because they feel like, you know, they've maybe gone down this one path and it's too late to make a change, or, you know, they identify similar to me where they feel their path is non-traditional. And so I love to be able to help people reinvent themselves and see that there are possibilities. There is a way. And sometimes you just need a little help.
That's incredible. Can you share with what that reinvention looked like for you, who you were before and who you became through that process?
Yeah. So for me, it really boiled down to the work that I was doing. So I started very much working in administrative roles, worked in an environmental company. And so I enjoyed, you know, kind of doing that. My path initially was like, oh, I'm going to go do international business and studies and so forth. But my path took a different turn. I ended up in restaurant, and it was very interesting because I was there for a while. And I climbed within restaurants, starting from the server, working my way up to overseeing multiple facilities and catering. But then I got to a point where I'm like, this wasn't what I envisioned for myself. And there was that kind of crossroads of, I have to decide what I want to do for me. And I didn't necessarily know what that was at that time, but I was able to understand and took some time to reflect and really figure out what are the parts of my job that I love to do and how can I take that and reinvent myself and pivot my career in a different direction. And so for me, that ended up being I landed in recruiting because it took a lot of the skills that I already had. And then going into an industry that I was passionate about because I saw the opportunity and potential for growth. And so for me, that was the path that I ended up taking. And it was very fulfilling. You know, I think it was the best decision I made for my life. But I also had to understand myself and my skills and understand how those skills were transferable in order to make that change. So it was a process.
That's so incredible. Thanks for sharing that, Erica, of how you evolve from being a leader in the restaurant industry to recruiting and now into coaching. So there were actually two big changes in your career. Yes. And you really took a big part of the skills that you gained and leveraged them into different ways in your next steps.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. And one thing I teach my clients a lot or talk to them a lot about is because we often identify so much with the role we are, with our job title, right? Like, so if you're a leader in the restaurant industry, that becomes somewhat of our identity of this is who I am and who am I if I'm not that? And that's where I love to bring the sparketype in, where I, like in this example, I would work with clients say, yes, you've been a leader in the restaurant industry. And at your core, what you do is you really care about people. You give care, you support your team, you coach them, you mentor them. So think about all the times you've did that. And what other contexts can you do that? Because you're still the same person at your core, but you can change the environment and still do something, even if it was just a part, because I mean, there's a lot, many other tasks you do, but figuring out what is that core that you are and that you love to do and how can you move this into different places is incredibly powerful.
Absolutely. And I'm like hearing you talk about this and I was like, I wish I would have known you back then when I was going through this change in my life because it's so true. And those were things that, you know, like I personally didn't know. So it's beautiful, you know, that you're able to help people through that journey because it's very real, you know, for a lot of us that are trying to make changes. And so, yeah, those are good call outs.
Yeah. And it's so difficult to make change. And especially with clients that you work with who have non-traditional paths, there is a lot of bias. What are some strategies that you recommend for people who want to make a change like you did in your life, but have to overcome biases?
That's a really great call out. So I think one of the biggest things that I really preach is, well, one is understanding yourself in the sense of, you know, I love how you brought up the kind of being able to detach from the identity of who you are, the role that you hold, because that is not you. So being able to remove yourself from that. But I think for people I work with, I really try to help them see that they have a lot of skills that are transferable. And that once they start to see that the skills that they have transfer into other roles and industries, then, you know, when you think about bias, because then there's questions that typically surface, well, you know, if I apply for this role, I haven't worked in this industry or I haven't been in this role before. So also mindset is a big piece, you know, so some of it is us projecting. And so I think for me, and that I think I know when I talk to people, I really try and help prepare them mentally and help them frame the way they see themselves, the way they view opportunities differently, because that helps when they do start to go look for roles. And then the other thing is like just being very honest, because there's always going to be bias. Like that is the reality, but that can't dictate our future and what we want for our lives and whether or not we make the choice to keep moving forward. So that encouragement piece and kind of being that like cheerleader in the background that walks alongside that journey with them, and then helping facilitate connections. Because the other piece is like when we think about bias, well, how to maneuver around that? Well, it really is understanding your story, being confident, right, in how you're articulating that, but then being able to keep opportunities open in the sense of learning and teaching people how to step out of maybe their comfort zone to position themselves in places. Like maybe it's they're part of networking groups, or maybe they are starting to attend conferences or things like that to help branch them out. So that way they're around people in the places where they want to be to help, again, eliminate some of those bias, because they're in spaces with people that they can build connections with, then, you know, can allow doors to open.
That is so important, is to be in the room where you want to be in and find those openings through conversations to then see the opportunities that can be there.
Yeah, for sure.
What strengths or transferable skills do you see in people who come from overlooked backgrounds or non-traditional paths? What is something that they bring to an employer in and that they can really be proud of that might be more likely for them, a skill or strength that might be more likely that they have than others?
Yeah, I think adaptability is a big one. Mm-hmm. A lot of people that I work with that come from backgrounds that are more non-traditional have this really, you know, very strong-willed and the adaptability to be able to be in any sort of environment and operate at peak level. That is invaluable to a lot of employers. So if you can showcase that adaptability, the flexibility, if you can also showcase, a lot of times these people are really great project managers in the sense they've done a lot of project managing. So being able to speak to that skill set, because that's a skill that's transferable across mm-hmm. many roles and industries. So I would say those are just a couple that, or a few, I should say, that come to mind when I speak to people from all sorts of backgrounds. That a lot of times I see come up over and over again.
Yeah, I can see the adaptability and flexibility and being able to manage all these different aspects of a project being really important in the job search. Now, also something that I notice is that they often think outside the box and bring diverse ideas and things that someone who has always worked in the same field and industry, and they're so in this line, even if they're brilliant at it, having someone from the outside come with new ideas and new insights and looking at it from a different angle can be incredibly yes. powerful and so important to have on a team.
Absolutely. You're spot on with that. Yeah. And I think to your point, once somebody learns how to speak to that and really tell that story, that's powerful.
You just brought up tell that story. Can you share about why storytelling is really important in showcasing your professional identity or journey?
Yeah, I think storytelling really comes up. It starts with the resume. So we have to tell a strong narrative in our resume. And a lot of times when we think about that storytelling, it really is, you know, showcasing, yes, what is relevant to the employer, but maybe what is not so relevant in the sense of the type of role you've been in, but showing those skills like we were talking about. So giving examples, so that storytelling of tangible, I should say, examples that you can help the employer see and like tell the narrative so they can see not just adaptability on your resume, but maybe they're seeing an example of how you've had to be adaptable. So that storytelling. When you go into an interview, a lot of times, you know, you are asked to tell me about yourself. And that's where there's an opportunity to speak again to your story. So, you know, maybe being able to speak to the fact that you have been in three different industries, but with all of those varied experience, it has allowed you and led you up to this point where you are now having that conversation with the person you're in front of. And here are some of the skills that you've gained along the way. And here, you know, essentially is how you would be able to really work with that employer. So telling that narrative is so important, but that comes from understanding what your story is. So if you don't know, you know, and understand the skills and experience that you have, and then, you know, get comfortable with talking about it or writing it down on paper, then it becomes challenging when you're trying to make those changes.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with the importance of storytelling. And when we think about it, is people forget facts, but stories people remember. And that's why I always tell my clients, when you go out in an interview, tell a story. Obviously, don't tell a story that's 3 hours long. People answer the question. But instead of just saying I did A, B, and C, of can you give the picture? Can you paint the picture? Because when the interviewer can, like, in their mind, see you doing that, and they're like, wow, she did that? I want her to do that for me. It's yeah. So that's when it sticks with the interviewer, and it's like, okay, I need her on my team, or I need him on my team.
1,000%. Yeah, spot on there.
And as you were saying, is you first need to really own your story and have that story. What are some steps that you share with your clients that really help them build that confidence so that they can advocate for themselves?
Yeah, I think one of the big things that I'd like to tell people is when we're doing an exercise, so a lot of times we'll look at, start exploring, looking at roles, for example, and we'll look at a job description and people will say, well, I can do this, this, and this. And then they get to a certain part where they start to get a little bit hesitant and, oh, actually, I don't think I meet this criteria. And then I say, okay, this is that moment where you need to pause and ask yourself and question the narrative. So in that example, I tell them, you know, tell me why you don't have this experience. Do you have an example that you can pull that you can think of? And let's talk about it. So that for me is important because a lot of times we tell ourselves stories and we self-eliminate our own selves. So I always tell people, if you find yourself in this mind trap of maybe you're creating a belief or you're labeling something, ask yourself, what is the truth behind that? Is this fact or am I creating this story because of my own limiting beliefs and the barriers that I have? So I think that is one of the big things I try to tell people is like doing the exercise of whether it be looking at a job description or even you're looking at yourself in the mirror and a thought pops up and maybe it's not such a kind thought. Why am I saying that to myself? Mm-hmm. Is there truth in what I'm saying? Because a lot of times it's in here is where, you know, that belief system comes from and the limitations that we have. So I kind of went off on a tangent, but essentially that's really something I'm big on is like taking a pause in those moments where you have thoughts or you're reading something or maybe you're writing something down and you're not quite believing it. Why? Asking yourself why and what do you have from your memory bank that you can pull to disprove what you are trying to like, basically the narrative you're trying to shape.
Yeah. And I think that is a lifelong journey for most of us because we all grow up with so much cultural conditioning. And then we are someone who we are at our core and then society and everything around it slaps things on us. And then we internalize them and think like, okay, maybe I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not this enough. I'm too much of an introvert. And we have all these things that hold us back when we realize like, okay, maybe at my core, I can actually be more. Mm-hmm. I am enough. I'm exactly who I want to be and need to be. But it takes like, it's, and myself included, it's definitely a lifelong journey to reminding ourselves of, is this really the truth or is that something I'm telling myself? And is there a different narrative I could share, tell myself?
Absolutely. You're spot on. And I, to your point, we all go through it, you know, so that's one thing I think is really important to call out is that it's something that we all experience, but you know, the more we work on that, especially going through big transitions like this, this is when we think about changing careers, this is one of the most massive changes and transformations we'll make in our life. And it takes a lot to make that decision and then act on it. And so the more we can be kinder to ourselves and really try to change that programming, it's going to help us be successful in landing on the other side.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And what advice would you give to someone who is currently stuck in their career and things like, okay, I don't like where I am right now, but this seems overwhelming. What advice do you share with people in that position?
That's a great question. I would say first thing is making the decision, because I think that's the biggest piece is, you know, we have to commit, because once you commit, then you can start building a plan and taking steps, and they might not be these massive leaps, you know, that, and that's okay. But making the decision and then starting to take small steps. So maybe it's you start looking at jobs to see, just explore what's out there. Maybe you start talking to people to just hear about other types of roles and opportunities. So what step can I take today that's essentially going to help me towards that greater goal that I'm trying to achieve? So that's what I would tell people is break it down into manageable steps and always, 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 always give yourself grace. That's another thing. We don't give ourselves grace, and then we get discouraged, and then a lot of times we just don't end up really maneuvering past that. And so I really encourage people, really just give yourself grace. And as long as you're taking a step, it could be the smallest of steps, it is a step. And really just, I empower people to just like, big or small, like the wins are wins. So that's a whole tangent I'm going on. But I think it's really decision, break it down into small manageable steps, give yourself grace. And as long as you're one step in front of the other, as small as it is, celebrate it, because that's going to get you across again the finish line over onto the other side.
Yeah. And I think if you do that, you also build your confidence, because you notice the things you're doing and you're not disregarding something you've done, even if it's a small step, but you still give yourself credit for it. You do celebrate it, even in a small way. And maybe you write it down and you keep a track of your wins. And that really builds your confidence over time, that when you are taking bigger steps, then you're like, okay, I've taken many small steps. So now this bigger step, if I've done these ones, maybe I can do this too. And you can start believing in yourself that this is possible.
Absolutely. Everything you said right there, plus 1,000. Yes.
And as we're coming to an end of this conversation, if there is someone who was where similar to where you've been, they might be in a role right now that they feel really boxed in and don't know how to get out of it, what inspiration would you share with them from how you transformed your career and found something that's so fulfilling and allows you to give back? What is the inspiration that you want them to take away, that this is possible for them too?
Yeah, that's a good one. I think because at the time when I was going through that, I didn't have a lot of hope and faith mm-hmm. at that moment. So I'm just gonna be very transparent. But I knew something needed to change. And so what I would say and encourage people is that if you're feeling that, that's where the moments where you need to lean in even harder. And you really just need to take your life and just assess where you are and really just say, am I doing this or not? And if I am, that's where I say you need to get really, really curious. So for me, it was like, I started reaching out to people because I was like, I can't do what I'm doing anymore. This is not something that's sustainable for my life. I didn't know exactly what I was trying to do, but I knew that I couldn't stay where I was at. I met my threshold. And so I started to reach for help essentially and started connecting with people. And little by little, the door started opening. I started piecing together information. So I would say if that is you right now, where you're like, I can't do this, I would say, look, I see you, I was you. And I know that it might feel like there's no hope, but there is. And if I can do it, you can do it. And the other thing is that community aspect too. So I was able to find a community that really helped me to hold me accountable, but support me too. And I don't think I would have been able to do it without having that community. So I would encourage people to also find a community, because community is really important.
I agree so much, Erica, 100%. For our listeners who want to learn more about you or possibly work with you, where can they find you and where can they follow you?
Absolutely. So if you are on TikTok or Instagram, I do post content there. Career Diva Coaching is my name there. And then if you want to connect on LinkedIn, by all means, I would love to connect with you. So LinkedIn is Rivera-Erica.
And if you're not following Erica yet, I highly recommend you do this right now, because she shares absolutely incredible content. I love your video content. It's so powerful. And I love what you do. So I highly recommend for everyone to jump on all of those on TikTok, Instagram, and LinkedIn and follow you there for your amazing content. And that is it for today's episode with the amazing Erica Rivera. We hope that you're feeling as inspired as we are and ready to tackle your own career transition, this newfound confidence and inspiration. And remember that your unique journey is truly your greatest asset. And if you're looking to gain more clarity and direction in your career, feel free to book a free consultation call with me so I can help you unlock your potential in record time. If you want to do that, DM me the word clarity and I will send you further information. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.